Today at Jeremiah chapter 40 and 41. That's right, Tom, we're going to do two chapters in Sunday school. Yeah, and that'll probably be where I'm asked to go afterwards.
Can I ask questions?
Yeah, sure. You may ask questions at any time. Okay, we're looking in Jeremiah chapter 40. And let me go to the Lord in prayer before we begin. Father, we thank you for the truth of your word and how it is impossible to believe that man in his own wisdom could have ever penned all these pages of scripture and made them so unified and complete. Revealing to us our great God and Savior in a way that no other method could be used to describe who you are. And we thank you especially that you have revealed yourself to us in your Son, who gave his life a propitiation for our sins, who became sin for us that we might become the righteousness of God in him. And we thank you for the mighty work that you accomplished in raising him from the dead and giving us a living hope, a reason for living our lives now and a hope for the future. And we ask that you would instruct us in this truth today that we might see Jesus and that we might glorify our God who has done so much for us. Teach us by your Spirit and fill us with your Spirit that we might be faithful followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. Amen. Okay, in Jeremiah chapter 39, Jeremiah had been, we had seen that Jeremiah had been imprisoned and put in the cistern, and that this individual, Ebed-Melech, suggested that the king take him out of the cistern, but he was still in the courtyard and was still sort of like in house arrest. And then we saw that Jerusalem was taken by the Babylonians. King Zedekiah is no longer king. He can't make rules for Jeremiah. King Zedekiah tried to escape and Babylon caught him and killed his sons before his eyes and then gouged out his eyes. Zedekiah is no longer ruling Jerusalem or any of the Jews. The Babylonians are now ruling. And in Jeremiah chapter 40, verse 1, it says, "The word of the Lord came to Jeremiah from the Lord after Nebuzaradan, captain of the bodyguard, had released him from Ramah, when he had taken him bound in chains among the exiles of Jerusalem and Judah, and who were being exiled to Babylon. Now the captain of the bodyguard had taken Jeremiah and said to him, 'The Lord your God promised this calamity against this place, and the Lord has brought it on and done just as he promised. Because you people sinned against the Lord and did not listen to his voice, therefore this thing has happened to you.'" Now there is an outline in your bulletin if you want to fill in the blanks. We're looking at Jeremiah's release now. He was imprisoned under Zedekiah, the Jewish king, but now Jeremiah is released by whom? It says in verse 1, this man, Nebuzaradan, the captain of the bodyguard. That is not a Jewish name. That is a Babylonian name. And notice what it said in verse 1. It says, when he had taken him bound in chains with all the exiles of Jerusalem and Judah. Jeremiah at one time was a prisoner of war, just like all the rest of the Jews. He was in chains being marched to Jerusalem when this man, this captain of the bodyguard, Nebuzaradan, stops him and says, let me give you a choice. But before he gives Jeremiah a choice, he explains to Jeremiah that he understands this calamity. He says, letter B, Nebuzaradan's understanding of the calamity is, number one, God brought about this calamity. This was not a calamity that Nebuzaradan or Nebuchadnezzar could have done on their own. He recognizes that. He says, God brought about this calamity on you. And the reason the calamity is on Israel is because Israel sinned. And they chased after other gods and didn't listen to his voice. Therefore, this thing has happened to you. Now, in this first Roman numeral, we see some strange things. We see a captain of the bodyguard of one of the cruelest people who've ever walked the earth, the Babylonians, being compassionate to Jeremiah. And we see an idolatrous individual who grew up in the seat of idolatry, Babylon, where Nimrod began idolatry, and where idolatry will once again fill the earth in the last days. He understands spiritual things better than the Jews do. He understands that this was brought about by God and because Israel sinned. And he's probably well aware that Jeremiah is the prophet of God who prophesied all these things. And so he gives Jeremiah a choice in verses 4 through 6. But now behold, I am freeing you today from the chains which are on your hands. If you would prefer to come with me to Babylon, come along, and I will look after you. But if you prefer not to come with me to Babylon, never mind. Look, the whole land is before you. Go wherever it seems good and right for you to go. And as Jeremiah was still not going back, he said, go on back to Gedaliah, the son of Jehoiakim, the son of Shaphan, whom the king of Babylon has appointed over the cities of Judah, and stay with him among the people, or else go anywhere it seems right for you to go. So the captain of the bodyguard gave him a ration and a gift and let him go. Then Jeremiah went to Mizpah to Gedaliah, the son of Jehoiakim, and stayed with him among the people who were left in the land. What was Jeremiah's choice? Letter A, Jeremiah may go with Nebuzaradan to Babylon. I have no idea why Jeremiah would want to do that, but that was one of the choices he was given. He could go with Nebuzaradan to Babylon. The second choice he was given, letter B, is Jeremiah may stay with the Jews in Judah, or Jerusalem, or anywhere he wanted to stay. He could stay with his people in his own land. Now, what's interesting is Jeremiah seemed to hesitate and didn't make a decision immediately. So Gedaliah made the decision for him. And letter C, Jeremiah was encouraged to go to Gedaliah, the ruler of the Jews who was appointed by Nebuchadnezzar at Mizpah. So Jeremiah is encouraged, go to this ruler that my king has set up and figure out what he wants you to do. Now, he really wasn't a king. He was just a governor or a ruler at that time. So Jeremiah was encouraged to return or go to Gedaliah, the ruler of the Jews. He was appointed by Nebuchadnezzar, and he was at this city named Mizpah. So now let's look in verse 7 and 8 and see all the people who came to Mizpah. Now all the commanders of the forces that were in the field, they and their men, heard that the king of Babylon had appointed Gedaliah, the son of Jehoiakim, over the land, that he had put him in charge of the men, women, and children, those of the poorest of the land, who had not been exiled to Babylon. So they came to Gedaliah at Mizpah, along with Ishmael, the son of Nethaniah, and Johanan, and Jonathan, the sons of Kareah, and Sariah, the son of Tenhameth, and the sons of Ephi, the Netophathite, and Jezaniah, the son of Micaiathite, both they and their men. So, Roman numeral 3, who were the people who came to Gedaliah? Well, one of the ones that we've already learned was Jeremiah. Jeremiah went to Gedaliah. A second group in verse 6 is the people who were left in the land. The remnant went to Gedaliah. A third group, letter C in verse 7, is the commander of the forces. So some of the army went to Gedaliah. Now, I'm not sure whether these commanders were of Babylon or of Israel. I originally thought they were of Israel, but there may be a good reason why they are of Babylon. But the commander of the forces in the field came to Gedaliah at Mizpah. And then verse 7, the poorest of the land. Because Jeremiah took everyone who was anything with him to Babylon. And then we have this individual that has just shown up in the scriptures, and we don't know why, and who is he, and what's he doing. His name in verse 8 is Ishmael. A man by the name of Ishmael. So we have Jeremiah, the remnant, the commanders, the poorest of the land, and this guy named Ishmael. So what's going to happen? What does Gedaliah tell the people they should do? Well, he gives them an encouraging word in verses 9 through 12. It says, so they came to Gedaliah. It says then in verse 9, then Gedaliah, the son of Ahikam, the son of Shaphan, swore to them and to their men, saying, do not be afraid of serving the Babylonians. Stay in the land and serve the king of Babylon, that it may go well with you. Now as for me, behold, I am going to stay at Mizpah to stand for you before the Chaldeans who come to us. But as for you, gather in wine and summer fruit and oil and put them in your storage vessels and live in your cities that you have taken over. Likewise, also all the Jews who were in Moab and among the sons of Ammon and in Edom and those who were in the other countries heard that the king of Babylon had left a remnant for Judah, and that he had appointed over them Gedaliah, the son of Ahikam, the son of Shaphan. Then all the Jews returned from all those places to which they had been driven away, and came to the land of Judah to Gedaliah at Mizpah, and gathered in wine and summer fruit in great abundance. What is Gedaliah's encouragement to the remnant? First of all, he said, do not fear the Babylonians. That's a strange thing to say. They have just torn down the king's house, the tabernacle. They've burned Jerusalem. They've torn down the wall. They've taken all the men of Judah, men, women, and children of Judah to Babylon, and you're not supposed to fear them? Well, he says, I'm going to stay here at Mizpah and be the go-between between the Babylonians and you guys, and I'm going to take care of the Babylonians. Nebuchadnezzar set me up. I can do it. I can handle it. No need to fear. On the other hand, he does say, serve the Babylonians. Now, this probably didn't go over very well. It never went over well when Jeremiah said it. So it's probably not going over well here. But they are to serve the Babylonians. In letter C, they are to live in their cities and do all the things you would do when it comes to living. They were supposed to plant and harvest summer fruit and wine and oil and olive oil and all kinds of good stuff. They were supposed to live their lives like normal people. Not like the poorest of the land, not like a defeated people, but just live your lives. Don't be afraid of the Babylonians, but serve them. And then I know I've talked through Jeremiah before, but I was caught by surprise by this statement in verse 11 and verse 12. All the Jews in Moab, this is letter D, and Ammon, and Edom, and who were in all the countries. What did they do? They returned. I thought Jeremiah was about the taking into captivity, but here are all these Jews scattered throughout the world in the Middle East there, in Ammon and Moab and Edom and all over the world, it says, they're coming back to Jerusalem. We have a mini revival going on, so to speak, a mini restoration in the midst of the captivity. That's an amazing thing to me, that these Jews who were in all these other countries decided to come back to Judah at this time, and that Nebuchadnezzar allowed them to, and that God ordained them to. So we have a report from Johanan in verse 13. Things look like they're going pretty well. Don't fear the Babylonians. Live in your cities. Reap your harvest. Jews are coming from all over the world back to Judah. But Johanan has a report that needs to be taken care of. Now Johanan, the son of Korea, and all the commanders of the forces that were in the field, that's why it makes me think it's Jewish commanders in the field, came to Gedaliah at Mizpah and said to him, "Are you well aware that Baalis, the king of the sons of Ammon, has sent Ishmael, the son of Nethaniah, to take your life?" But Gedaliah, the son of Ahikam, did not believe them. Then Johanan, the son of Korea, spoke secretly to Gedaliah in Mizpah, saying, "Let me go and kill Ishmael, the son of Nethaniah, and not a man will know. Why should he take your life so that all the Jews who are gathered to you would be scattered and the remnant of Judah would perish?" But Gedaliah, the son of Ahikam, said to Jonathan, the son of Korea, "Do not do this thing, for you are telling a lie about Ishmael." So what was Johanan's report? Letter A, Ishmael was sent by the king of Ammon, or Baalis, to kill Gedaliah. That's why that guy's name was mentioned. That's why he's hanging around in Mizpah. He's there to assassinate Gedaliah. That's why his name popped up there. So what did Gedaliah do? Letter B, he did not believe him. He needed something of what used to be the case with the United States Secret Service and Central Intelligence. When you get a tip like this, an assassination plot on the president, you take it seriously. He didn't believe him. So Johanan had a suggestion. Let me go and kill him and no one will ever know. And Gedaliah's response, don't do that. You're telling a lie. Now, I don't know how Gedaliah got his information. I'm somewhat confident I know how Johanan got his information. Word like that spreads, and he caught wind of it, and he brings it to Gedaliah, but Gedaliah just doesn't believe it and says that Johanan is lying. So we come to chapter 41, and we look at Ishmael's deeds. In the seventh month, Ishmael, the son of Nethaniah, the son of Elishama, of the royal family, and one of the chief officers of the king, along with 10 men, came to Mizpah to Gedaliah, the son of Ahikam. And they were eating bread together there in Mizpah. Ishmael, the son of Nethaniah, and 10 men who were with him arose and struck down Gedaliah, the son of Ahikam, the son of Shaphan, with the sword to put to death the one whom the king of Babylon had appointed over the land. Then it says, Ishmael also struck down all the Jews who were with him, that is, with Gedaliah at Mizpah, and the Chaldeans who were found there, the men of war. And that's why I think the commanders of the forces were Chaldeans. So there's an argument for them being Israelites and an argument for them being Chaldeans. But there were Chaldeans in Mizpah, and Ishmael killed them. Verse 4. Now it happened on the next day that the killing of Gedaliah, when no one knew about it, that 80 men came from Shechem, from Shiloh, and from Samaria, with their beards shaved off and their clothes torn and their bodies gashed, having grain offerings and incense in their hands to bring to the house of the Lord. Then Ishmael the son of Nethaniah went out from Mizpah to meet them, weeping as he went. And as he met them, he said to them, "Come to Gedaliah, the sons of Ahikam." Yet it turned out that as soon as they came inside the city, Ishmael the son of Nethaniah and the men who were with him slaughtered them and cast them into the cistern. But 10 who were found among them said to Ishmael, "Do not put us to death, for we have stores of wheat, barley, oil, and honey hidden in the field." So he refrained and did not bring them or put them to death along with their companions. Now as for the cistern where Ishmael had cast all the corpses of the men whom he had struck down because of Gedaliah, it was the one that King Asa had made on account of Baasha, king of Israel. Ishmael the son of Nethaniah filled it with the slain. Then Ishmael took captive all the remnant of the people who were in Mizpah, the king's daughters and the people who were left in Mizpah, whom Nebuzaradan, the captain of the bodyguard, had put under the charge of Gedaliah the son of Ahikam. Thus Ishmael the son of Nethaniah took captive and proceeded to cross over to the sons of Ammon. So what did Ishmael do? Well, first of all, he killed Gedaliah in Mizpah, just like Johanan said he would. But he wasn't through yet. He killed all the Jews in Mizpah. He killed all the commanders in Mizpah. Letter C. And he killed 70 men from these three parts that it said, Shechem, Shiloh, and Samaria. 80 came, 10 were spared, so 70 were killed. And he threw the corpses into a cistern. Did not even have the common decency to bury these people. And he took the remnant captive to Ammon. So he kills virtually everyone, but the few that are left he takes to Ammon. Now notice where it says that he was slaying the ones who were returning from Ammon, Moab, and Edom. What is wrong with this guy? There is a measure of rejoicing in great sorrow. Babylon has taken captive Judah. But some Jews are returning to the land. And Ishmael kills them. Now, Ishmael was a citizen of Ammon. Ammon was a descendant of Lot. Lot was the nephew of Abraham. Ammon is not part of the chosen race of Israel, but they are relatives. And for some reason, Ishmael has an axe to grind against the Jews. And he goes in after everything has been set up and everything is as good as it could be under the circumstances. Gedaliah is a ruler established by Nebuchadnezzar. He says, don't fear the Babylonians, serve them. Live your lives, you'll take in abundant fruit and harvest. Don't fear. Okay, we're not to fear the Babylonians. Maybe we should have feared the Ammonites. Trouble comes from every direction. So Johanan hears about this, and what does he do in verses 11 through 18? But Johanan, the son of Kareah, and all the commanders of the forces that were with him heard of all the evil that Ishmael, the son of Nethaniah, had done. So they took all the men and went to fight with Ishmael, the son of Nethaniah, and they found him by the great pool that is in Gibeon. Now as soon as all the people who were with Ishmael saw Johanan, the son of Kareah, and the commanders of the forces that were with him, they were glad. So all the people whom Ishmael had taken captive from Mizpah turned around and came back and went to Johanan, the son of Kareah. But Ishmael, the son of Nethaniah, escaped from Johanan with 8 men and went to the sons of Ammon. Then Johanan, the son of Kareah, and all the commanders of the forces that were with him took from Mizpah all the remnant of the people whom he had recovered from Ishmael, the son of Nethaniah, and after he'd struck down Gedaliah, the son of Ahikam, that is, the men who were soldiers, the women, the children, the eunuchs, whom he had brought back from Gibeon. And they went and stayed in Geruth Kimham, which is beside Bethlehem, in order to proceed to Egypt, because of the Chaldeans, for they were afraid of them, since Ishmael, the son of Nethaniah, had struck down Gedaliah, the son of Ahikam, whom the king of Babylon had appointed over the land. What does Johanan do? He rescues the people. He couldn't rescue the ones that Ishmael had put to death, but he rescues the people that Ishmael had taken captive. And the people went to this city called Geruth Kimham, letter B. Why did they go to this city? Because they planned to go to Egypt. The people were afraid. But Gedaliah had said, don't be afraid. I'll take care of you. Gedaliah is dead. If that's the best we have to take care of us, we don't have much to take care of us. If we can't even protect the one that was set up for us. The people were afraid. Why were they afraid? Because Ishmael had killed Gedaliah. And Nebuchadnezzar had set up Gedaliah as the ruler. Ishmael's a nobody. He's a punk. You read world history and you will never read of Ishmael unless you're reading the scriptures. Who you will read about is Nebuchadnezzar. You don't mess with Nebuchadnezzar. But Ishmael did. Ishmael, a nobody, takes on the king of Babylon and kills the appointed ruler that Nebuchadnezzar set up. What do you think Nebuchadnezzar's reaction to that is going to be? Well, that's all right. No problem. No, this is a Babylonian king who was one of the cruelest men who ever lived. He's not going to look lightly on this. And so the children of Israel are afraid because they have put to death the appointed ruler by Nebuchadnezzar to lead them during this time of captivity. An interesting set of chapters. interesting story, might make a good movie, I don't know. But that's not why it was revealed to us. It wasn't revealed to us so that we could be entertained with the brutality of the Middle Eastern culture at that time. It was revealed to us so that we could learn things about God and man. And so what does it teach us about God? And what does it teach us about man? What does it teach us about Israel? What does it teach us about Jeremiah? Well, I look at what it teaches about God and the fact that God left a remnant in Israel after they all had sinned against him is amazing grace. The fact that he had a mini restoration from Ammon, Edom, and Moab is amazing grace. The fact that he had Gedaliah established as the ruler of the Jews who would encourage the people, that they would reap what they sowed, they would get summer fruit and wine and oil, they would get all kinds of harvest in great abundance when they didn't deserve it. It also tells me that God is faithful. Because he said this would happen. And when you put those two together, you can come up with the prayer of one of the prophets, I believe it was, who said, "Lord, in wrath, remember mercy." God is a God of righteous judgment, but he is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in loving kindness. That's what he told Moses when Moses wanted to see his glory. "Who are you, God? Who are you, Lord? Show me your glory." He said, "I am the Lord, compassionate and gracious." What does this teach us about man? Well, we would have to ask the question, which man? There are so many characteristics of man here, it's hard to come up with them all. But as we said at the beginning, sometimes the unbelieving idolater understands things better than the chosen one of God. Now, it's a little bit different because Israel, not all Israel is Israel, and Nebuzaradan had the opportunity to hear or see Jeremiah. But there are times that those who would be referred to as the unrighteous or the wicked have more wisdom than those who are considered the righteous. They're able to deal with things and understand things that we can't, that for some reason we're blind to. And I know it says that the unbeliever is blinded to the Word of God, but sometimes there's an anomalous event where an unbeliever seems to understand the ways of God better than the believer does. What other man do we see here? We see Johanan, who is a faithful witness and a supporter of the people of God. And he does what he can to help. We see Ishmael, who is nothing but a brutal, wicked, evil man. We see Gedaliah, who is easily deceived and duped. And rather than taking the words of a righteous man seriously, he gives credence to a wicked man. And Jeremiah, what do we see about Jeremiah? He had to watch everything he had promised come to pass. And then he has to march in chains to Babylon. When all of a sudden Nebuzaradan says, "You can go back." Imagine the emotions and the attitudes that Jeremiah had. How many times would he have wanted to say, "I told you so. I told you so." But now he's being marched to Babylon with the rest of the sinners from Israel and Judah. And he gets a reprieve to go back. And what about Israel? In the midst of the greatest judgment on the nation of Israel before the cross, they have been taken captive. God has promised in 70 years he will have them return. But during those 70 years, they are supposed to settle down in Babylon, raise families, grow crops, be citizens of that country. But he shows his ability by bringing Jews from Ammon, Moab, and Edom, even at this time, back to Mizpah, where Gedaliah is. So many things that we can see about God and man and how God is treating and using Israel and how God treats and uses his prophets. It's not just an interesting story about some clandestine operations. It is given to us that we might know the true and the living God. Any comments or questions? Yes. I don't think so.
It's interesting how God has used most unlikely way to be used to meet Jeremiah.
Yeah. And I heard Alexander the Great had a similar experience with the Jews, that he was told that he was prophesied of the Lord that he would do these things, and therefore he went easy on the Jews. It's amazing how God works. That somehow Nebuzaradan heard about Jeremiah, went and found him and said, "You can go back if you want, because I know why this has happened. It's almost like I've read your book." It's just strange the way God works sometimes. Any other comments? Gedaliah, I'm pretty much convinced he was a Hebrew. Yeah. Tom?
So Hammond was also one of those people, because even if he was not a king per se, he was a governor, Gedaliah was. And so Hammond was bringing to him information that would cause Gedaliah to say that we are a liar. In many cases, from the scripture, from the culture at that time, my understanding is there would be much more dire consequences to someone who brought what the king or the governor thought was a lie to him. And yet he remains free. And,
interesting. For his later service. That's interesting how if you lie to the king, you lose your head. But Gedaliah said Johanan had lied to him. But he didn't lose his head because God had a purpose for Johanan at a later time. God moves in mysterious ways and in sovereign control over everything. Jim, you look like you wanted to say something.
Grace there.
Right.
And get along. You know,
and the people were willing to plant their fields. They were willing to return. Gedaliah was willing to stand in their midst, and this guy comes and ruins it all.
And we see the same thing going in our day. We have changed.
That's why we... That's why we study the Scriptures, so that we may be appalled, but we'll never be surprised. No. Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's almost like he didn't even want to take it into consideration. We're doing too well right now, Johanan. Let's not start bringing up bad reports about people. Let's just leave well enough alone. No. Evil needs to be dealt with.
Where's the guy with a name like this?
Yeah, well.
Well, I mean, when you think about it, I mean, all the problems of the world today stem from two sons of Abraham. Mm-hmm. Different in this day, and it's no different than that. There will be no peace. It's going to be the chosen of God and the promise of Isaac, and then the bastard son of Hagar, Ishmael, that has separated the world and continues to separate the world into the two groups. Right?
Yeah.
And it will only end.
That's what Paul said in Galatians. It contains an allegory that the son of the free woman and the son of the bond woman are always at war with each other. And it's interesting, this individual has the name Ishmael, the name that is opposed to the rightful son of Abraham, Isaac. Yeah. Yeah, it's interesting how God works all things to explain what he is doing.
Ishmael's sin was stepping out of Christ to God. It's interesting how we use Jeremiah throughout the entire prophecy to help deal with what was left after Ishmael.
Mm-hmm. And Johanan means grace. So there's an Ishmael and a grace that are working. So God's even in control of the names of people. Any other comments? Did it. No. I actually thought I'd do four chapters, but I settled to two. And it's right about time to call it quits. Any last comments? All right, let me pray for us. Father, as we consider the teaching that you have given us this morning on who you are and who man is, we pray that you would work in our lives in a mighty way, that the Lord Jesus Christ would live in and through us by the power of your Spirit, so that we would be salt and light in this dark and corroding world, and that we would glorify our Father while we have days upon this earth. We thank you for the rich privilege that is ours to testify of the excellencies of our great God and King. And we pray that you would use us mightily for service in your kingdom, for your own honor and your own glory. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.